It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Knopf just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Oh, you know it. The legendary Paul Opens means only one thing, and that is that we've got Paul Hamilton joining us here on the Westar Hotline. Yes, I managed to coerce Paul to do this with me. Just me, no one else. And I don't know how I did it, Paul.
Well, I just wanted to be able to talk to Evan. So, you know, I got a good conversation.
There we go.
And now it's time to leave.
All right. We'll see you later, Paul. Have a good day and enjoy pregame at 6. That was Paul Hamilton. Paul, of course, you know, we have to be able to start things off laughing because, unfortunately, the start of this Sabres season has been no laughing matter as they've started 0-3. And a lot of the problems that showed up last season are on the early setting here, showing their ugly faces. Particularly the power play once again is struggling. The team is not getting a lot of scoring from this group right now. So far, only one goal in each of the first three games there. Paul, what is going on here that needs to change with this team? Are those answers readily available? And how long should people actually wait before they are allowed proper panic with this season?
Well, it's interesting because they play a completely different game, but the results are the same. They can't score goals. Their power play is horrendous. And it doesn't matter that they played just the way Lindy Ruff wanted. They played a good game. Very good game. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the rebound opportunities on Lukanen. There were hardly any. I mean, one shot, the guys cleared it. And then off they went and they would break out of the zone with good breakouts. They weren't giving up a lot of outnumbered chances. The Sabres were the ones getting the outnumbered chances, not the Kings. You know, and then two bad errors wind up in their net, but it shouldn't have mattered. I mean, it's easy. They easily could have had 4, 5, 6 goals in that game where the Dahlin giveaway in the beginning of the third period and the Samuelson penalty wouldn't have mattered. You know, okay, yep. So it's 6-2 instead of 6-0, you know, type of a deal. And, you know, that's the thing. It's just mistakes are going to be made in a game. Now, those were, you know, an undisciplined penalty and just a mistake that your best player, a guy who's supposed to be an elite defenseman in this league, just can't make. And, you know, it's all of a sudden you're ahead by one goal and now you're behind. And, you know, Alex Tuch talked about how in that second game they didn't have their A game against the Devils, but it was 1-1, you know. And so find good teams, even though they don't have their A game, find a way to get a point out of that. Get it to overtime. That's another one of their problems is mm-hmm. last year they couldn't get any loser points. They were near the bottom of the league at picking up loser points. So those are valuable points that other teams around them got and they didn't. And, you know, you don't have your A game, but you got to find a way. Don't be sloppy. Don't give up outnumbered situations and be turning the puck over. You know, don't be careless type of a thing. You know, get yourself to a point where, all right, we can get it to overtime. We get the 1 point. Now let's see if we can steal the other one. You know, in 3-on-3 or in the shootout. And same thing with the Kings. You've entered the third period with a 1-0 lead. You should have had a 6-0 lead, but you're playing very, very well. And most teams, including the Sabres, quite frankly, when you enter the third period with the lead, you usually win the hockey game and or get points. Well, again, find a way to get points in that game. You can't play that well and leave that game with no points. So, you know, that's a thing. I mean, you look at the goal scoring, you know, in the last 85 games, which includes all of last year, the Sabres are 23rd in the NHL in goal scoring. In the last 85 games, they're 29th on the power play at 15.8%. That's not going to get it done. You are not going to be a playoff team with that. So it shouldn't be shocking that the Sabres don't score goals. They didn't score goals all of last year. They did not address getting a top six forward. So I don't know why anybody would be surprised that they don't score goals. Now, I don't have a crystal ball. They may all of a sudden, you know, kick in, and some guys may start scoring goals again. But, you know, Tage Thompson, it just seems like he shoots wide more than he shoots on net. And that's your guy that scored 47 goals a couple of years ago. And, well, if he doesn't hit the net, the puck's not going in. We do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just having trouble, you know, hitting the net. I have never seen a team hit more posts than this team does. I don't know what the answer is to that, Derek. I really don't. How do you stop hitting the post? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they do hit the post all the time with great chances. And I don't have an answer for you how you improve on that, because there are a lot of goals you leave on the ice there where you have the goalie beaten, but you nail the post.
Paul, of course, you know, starting 0-3, a disastrous start here for Lindy Ruff's return to Buffalo, despite the fact that they have played well, I'd say, within, like, the last game and a half, I would say. I mean, New Jersey, the second time around, was a lot better of a game than the opening game of their season. However, I would like to turn a little bit of positivity into this, Paul. What has looked good on the Sabres so far? What has at least been able to impress you in the early going with Buffalo?
I really like the way they're defending,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially that last game where I had mentioned, and I think it's worth mentioning again. If you're not giving up second and third opportunities, you're gonna be in hockey games. And it helps your goaltending out. It helps everything out because, you know, all right, they get one opportunity, you clear the puck, you get the puck, and out you go. And there's too many times over the years where we just watch the Sabres get hemmed into their own zone. And, all right, there's one opportunity, there's two, and they can't get the puck. And they, I think they're better at battles this year, you know, seeing the way that they can play under Lindy Ruff. I thought their battles were very good in the last game. I it seems like they're tougher to play against. I mean, Lafferty, you hate offensive zone penalties, and you'll hear Lindy Ruff talk about it in the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
But Lafferty has a couple of offensive zone penalties, but it's because he's crashing the zone. He's getting in there on the forecheck, and one time his stick came up accidentally, and that's one of them. I don't know if I'm going to get extremely upset with Lafferty when he's in there playing like that and being hard on the forecheck and hard to play against and making the defense look over their shoulder. It's like, where's Lafferty and where's Malenstein? You know, that really helps the team. So you don't want to take penalties, I understand. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to sit there and have a fit over him, you know, going in and working hard and getting into the zone and winds up with a penalty, unless it's a silly one. But I wouldn't consider his penalty silly penalties.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the West Shore Hotline. Sabres taking on the Florida Panthers tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff. You'll be able to hear pregame starting at 6 here on WGR. Paul, one of the things that's caught my eye in a positive way, I would say, through the first three games is it looks like Owen Power has found a little bit of a more comfort in his game so far. What have you seen from number 25 as he's entering into this season here?
Well, you could actually say in the calendar year, he found that around January 1st,
mm-hmm.
and really had a very good second half to the season. No, I don't even think his first half was awful. I just think his second half was better. And he gets a lot of flack from fans, which I don't think he deserves. And a lot of it is in this town, if you're big and you don't hit, you're no good. And that's what happens with him and some others. Joki Haru. Joki Haru could be the best defenseman on the team, and a lot of fans will never see it because they don't see him hitting or fighting. Greenway takes a lot of flack in this town because he doesn't fight all the time. But yet, Greenway is a guy that probably is the best at the team at forcing the other team to turn the puck over. He's in on the forecheck all the time. That's why he works when he's out there with Thompson and Tuck. He doesn't necessarily score the goals, but he gets those guys opportunities because he's in on the forecheck doing the dirty work. He's around the net, and you know he forces the other team into turnovers, and then the other two join in, and it works pretty well. So I think that goes against Owen Power, but I agree with you. And it started, as I said, probably this calendar year where, you know, he played, I thought, pretty well. And it just in training camp, I thought he was their best defenseman. Dahlin couldn't participate in training camp. They put Byram and Power together. And it's had a few hiccups as a pair, but overall, I think it's been a very good pair.
Paul, of course, you don't want to call something as quick as the fourth game of the regular season must win. But to avoid going into such a deep hole already before teams are even playing in their third games, how important is this game here for Buffalo? You've got the defending cup champs coming in here today. And you need to get something going to get your season off on the right foot.
Well, let me see if I can make you feel better.
Let's do that, please.
The Sabres are 2 points out of first place.
There it is, everyone. That, like, you said it, and I like kind of like nodded my head, Paul. I'm like, sick. That's actually really cool. That's a very positive way to do it, and I like that. You know what I'm about, Paul.
Now, everybody in the division has games in hand. But still, the bottom line is they're 2 points out of first place.
This is factually correct.
Yes, it can't turn into 5, 6, 7. They've tried that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember which season it was, but one of these seasons, and they started the season with what was it, a 7-game losing streak, or 6-1, or some goofy thing like that. They've tried that. That doesn't work.
They've tried that.
You know. Lindy Ruff was very frank about it, that, you know, they have to get off to a good start, and that hasn't happened. I mean, they are behind the eight ball as far as they've played 3 games and they don't have a win, but this is the hardest game they're going to play for a bit. And then they go on a 3-game road trip. I'm not saying there's easy games. They're not, because you're on the road, but you're playing 3 teams that you can beat in Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. So the Florida Panthers are playing without their captain, Barkov. That's a big part of their lineup that's out. And let's be honest, too. I mean, they won the Stanley Cup last year, but as what happens with Stanley Cup winners, they're usually pretty tight up against the cap, and they can't sign everybody. So mm-hmm. They did lose some players to free agency. Montour went to Seattle and others. Some of their grit left. So they're not the same team. They're good. I mean, I'm not trying to make you think they're not a good team.
Yep.
I would still think they have an excellent chance to win a second Stanley Cup in a row, but they, you know, they certainly don't have, you know, the same team, the same players that they had before. So, if the Sabres play well and can find a way to score some goals, you got a chance here against the Florida Panthers, but you certainly have to be right on top of your game. And one thing I will guarantee you, they will not win if they score only one goal.
Yeah, that is very true. It's something that they need to break out of that trend there as well. Paul, when it comes to it, I say comfortably to kind of find out what a team is really made of, you wait until like the first 12 to 15 games of the season before you actually really start to see what a team is made of and the trends of that sort. We know how exasperated this fan base is, so I guess what I'm asking for you is, when do you think these fans should be able to recognize what the team is and react appropriately?
I thought they recognized it in the first game here. The fans were really, they were crazy. They were mm-hmm. They were loud. They were excited. You know, they were on the refs whenever there was whoever calls a bad call to a home fan. But, you know, when a penalty was called against the Sabres and, they were right on target. You know, when the Sabres would just miss, you would hear the loud groan. I mean, it wasn't the funeral that sometimes it seems like it's like up in this place.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and you know, when Benson appeared to have scored at the end of the first period, but again, a bad break where the puck went over the line. It was as close as you possibly could have come to score a goal at the end of the period, but it was the right call. I mean, the puck did not cross the line. It was on its way.
Yep.
It was right there, but it didn't cross the line before the clock hit zero. So, you know, you get a bad break there, but the fans were as loud could be. I was getting ready for my first period walk-off interview, so I was underneath the stands, and it was loud where I was standing, down near the locker room.
Yep.
You know, when that goal went in, or that almost goal went in. Same thing when Tuck, you know, but you could feel the excitement as Tuck stole the puck and was walking in. You could feel the fans like lifted as it was happening, you know, and that's different than what. So I think they're already there. I mean, you know, Lindy Ruff got a fantastic ovation.
Yep.
When he was introduced, and they're already there. You didn't get to see your team win, but you certainly were entertained if you were here that night. I would say you probably got your money's worth. You saw a good hockey game from your team. You just saw a team that couldn't put the puck in the net. But, you know, there were a lot of things to like. It was an exciting hockey game. And, you know, you would think if they played more like that, they're going to win more games. But this is a team that can't score goals. Will they figure it out? I can't say. As I said, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if they'll figure it out. They haven't figured it out in the last 85 games, but that doesn't mean they won't by playing this way. But the other thing is, too, I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. Last year, when they did what Don Granato asked them to do, they usually played pretty well and won the game. Problem was, they didn't do it all that often. And maybe it was too complicated. I don't know. What for whatever reason, they didn't do it all that often. So, will they play Lindy Ruff's the way Lindy Ruff wants them to play all the time? They have a history of not doing that. That doesn't mean they won't. This is a different coach. This is a coach that's going to, you know, be on them type of a thing. Yeah. So, we don't know, but the history of what we saw last year tells us it's going to be very inconsistent. But it's a new coach. And we'll see if the consistency does come back. You would think eventually if you play like that, you're going to score goals. But one guy that got to get going, and Lindy Ruff will talk about this in the pregame, is Jack Quinn. It's interesting that Dylan Cousins leads the team in shots on goal with 14. His right winger, Jack Quinn, who is an elite shooter, has one shot in three games. One. And Lindy Ruff was quite frank about that. He goes, it's something that they've talked about, and they've got to get Jack Quinn in position where he can shoot the puck because there's a guy who can score goals. But if he's not shooting the puck, what does Wayne Gretzky say? Something like you score on zero shots that you don't take, you score 0% of the time or whatever the statement he was, something like that. You know, so you know, Jack Quinn's not going to score 30 goals in a season if he's only taking one shot every three games.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That was
Thank
the quote.
You.
Yep.
Thank you.
I got you, Paul. See, I have a brain sometimes. So, last thing here, though, for you, Paul. You were at practice, obviously, this morning. Any lineup news that you need to let the people know?
Yeah, we talked to Lindy as far as morning skates. This is going to be new for the team. Lindy is very much listens to his sports science people, and he should, and is into analytics also. And he basically thinks morning skates are a waste of time. If a player wants to go out there, there's ice available. But he basically said before the season even start, most of the morning skates will be optional, and they have been. But I can tell you that Greenway and Power, who missed practice yesterday, were out there. Lindy Ruff basically said if they didn't have a setback in the skate, they should be okay. J.J. Paterka, I don't think he's having setbacks or he wouldn't be on the ice. He's been practicing and practicing hard, and I was just watching him up here before he went on the air, before they left the ice. He was going hard on that. But as Lindy Ruff said, he's just something about it just isn't ready. I don't know if it's baseline testing or what it is, but he is able to work out hard. I can tell you that. Lindy Ruff, the next game isn't until Wednesday in Pittsburgh, so Ruff anticipates Paterka being ready for that one. So he won't play tonight. Devin Levi will be in goal. I'm mildly surprised by that. I kind of thought he would use Luukkonen as a number one goaltender, but Devin Levi played very well last year at the end of the season. Huge improvement in his game, and played very well in the one game he played against New Jersey. So it looks like maybe they're going to alternate back and forth as far as goaltenders go. Luukkonen has done nothing to say, well, you know, we probably should put Levi in. It's not going very well. It's actually going very well for Luukkonen. He didn't, in both games he's played, he hasn't faced the shots that Levi did in his one game. But maybe they're going to do a thing like Boston did last year where Swayman and Allmark pretty much alternated. I think one might have played 44 and the other might have played 40. I'm going by memory, which is a little dangerous, but it was somewhere in there. They both were in the 40s, close to each other. So we might see more of that. We'll see how it goes, but Devin Levi will get the call and goal.
All right, Paul. We'll hear from you at 6 o'clock when you join in with Brian Koziel and hear you all throughout the Sabres game tonight.
Okay, take care of yourself.
You too, Paul. Good to talk to you. And, hey, maybe we'll see something there from the Sabres themselves as they take on the Florida Panthers tonight at KeyBank Center. 7 o'clock faceoff. You'll be able to hear pregame starting at 6 o'clock right here on WGR. When I was driving in today, I had realized, yeah, these last 2 weeks, these two teams have had their mess. And I think I'm going to pick on the Sabres with theirs a little bit more and dig in deeper. Coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, Evans on the board. Thanks to Paul Hamilton. You just heard him there on the Westsur Hotline. You're listening to WGR.
You know, it's a great school, so you kind of come with what you're around on a day-to-day basis, right? At schools like UNC, Duke, and there's more beyond that. So he was there for a reason, not just football, but you can tell he's an aware, intelligent young man, and he's also seemingly aware of what it takes to be good at something, not just football, but life in general. And I think those life skills are important because they factor into becoming a good and successful football player.
Head coach Sean McDermott talking about Javon Solomon as he's going to be one of the rotations still with Von Miller suspended. That's got to try to win some winnable matchups against a weak Jets defensive line. By the way, some updates for you right now. UB up 7-0 on Toledo. You can hear that game over on the Bet 1520. Also, Florida Panthers head coach Paul Maurice saying that Alexander Barkov likely will be missing 2 to 3 weeks. Spencer Knight will be starting in goal for the Panthers tonight. And that Panthers forward Matthew Tkachuk is sick and will not play against Buffalo tonight. There's some winnable opportunity here now for the Sabres.
They have to win this game. I know it's only the fourth game of the season, but they have to.
So we talked with Paul. I asked that question about like it being kind of like a must win, and he did give the very factual, optimistic look on this, which
only is...
Only 2 points out of first place, and that's big because, well, that kind of turns things around, doesn't it? A little bit. I mean, a little bit. Like, you're still 1-3. It's not the greatest start in the season that you've had in a while, but hey, the Sabres have, over the past couple of years, started out relatively well slash okay, and it didn't work for them. So maybe this is the right approach. I don't know. Try something different. Try anything different. I don't know. Losing on purpose? Long game? I don't know. But in reality, it is this. The Buffalo Sabres remain the single-handedly most frustrating franchise in all of pro sports. I feel like I know what we did to deserve this, but that's a discussion for another day. Probably like, you know, when there's no Bills game also lurking around the corner. However, this is a poor start here. And when I say poor start, I mean like 12 to 15 games in and you have like 3 to 5 wins. That kind of a poor start. If they stumble out of the first 12 to 15, that's a serious indictment on Kevin Adams, who was already getting booed, by the way. Like, he had some boos at the Sabres home opener. If they can't right the ship a little bit, it gets uglier for the Sabres general manager. Because it will be another offseason where you didn't fix the biggest need on your team. And hoarding all these prospects is good and nice if they're able to crack the roster. But they can't. Because this is, once again, the youngest team in the league. Surely it's going to work for a third time now, guys, right? I'm not saying that this season is doomed to fail and there's going to be a failure to launch, anything like that. What I am going to say, though, is You can't repeat the same thing over and over and expect it to work for you.
That's what we call the definition of insanity.
Furthermore, I think this is the last gasp for Kevin Adams to have a job in the National Hockey League. Because if he can't get the Sabres to launch, teams will look at it and go, you know, good scout, great draft record.
I don't know if he'll be another general manager
again.
Yeah,
he can't. He would not be able to be another general manager again. So this is important that they actually right the ship for his sake. And for everyone's sake. I mean, fans, all of us have got to be tired of seeing them lose after loss after loss after loss. Going through 8 head coaches now through this playoff drought. Well, technically 8. Because Lindy is the first coach of the drought, and he's now the current coach of the drought. So it's technically 7 different coaches, but 8 different coaching changes. The Sabres, before the drought started, missed the playoffs 11 times in their franchise's history. They've already blown past that.
Isn't that just insane? I mean, I know there's more teams.
In a league where half the teams make it, they can't even be good on accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. It's weird. It's part frustrating, part very irritating, mostly weird. I'm like, if you had a pie chart for me, now I want pie. 75% of that pie is, the answer is weird. It's weird. How do you not do it? And I'm not here saying this is a must win. It's important. It's winnable. And you should go ahead and get it. Hockey is also sometimes weird. You see a team dominate the puck like the Sabres did against the Kings. Typically, that team wins. And the Sabres, if you look on the ever-popular deserve-to-win-o-meter, in their last 2 games, they had that percentage in the 70s or even 80s. And yet, all they had for it was a goal in each game. Part of Adams' plan this season has been expecting the top guys to get back to form. And if that doesn't happen, it is a major indictment on his capabilities as a general manager. Because you thought the same thing again, and you didn't go and add it to the top 6 again. As a matter of fact, you bought out a proven goal scorer just to up the ante on the pressure for you. Not that Jeff Skinner looked particularly good so far in Edmonton, but I digress. It's the optics of it all. Does this organization need to have some form of stability? Yes. But stability for stability's sake is never a good idea. And they're kind of approaching that now with Adams. He has a really good draft record. That is undeniable at this point. He's getting immediate contributions, it seems, from a lot of these guys in the first and second rounds. J.J. Paterka might be his best pick. That's a second rounder. General managers before Kevin Adams, when it came to second round picks, typically abysmal until you got back to Darcy Regier. Almost non-existent when it came to second round selections. Almost non-existent before Regier. Especially Murray. So Adams is doing a very good job as a scout. It's the question of how can everything tie together? And that's the truest difficult issue for any general manager putting together a team. Because a lot of it is out of your control. It's just weird. It is weird. But now, this team, if they bought into what Lindy Ruff is preaching to them, they should be able to rebound. Because one thing that they are doing very well that has been consistent in these 3 games is, despite the fact that they have been outscored, 3-1, 3-1, 4-1, it does look like games that have gotten away from them, but it's not. rebound control has been very good for this team. From the goaltending on out, the defense on out, it has been good. The goalies are not scrambling. The goalies are not out of position. And when the puck is out and they don't know where it has been typically corralled by the defense and at least put back into the wall or the corner. So it's not like they're not doing anything right. They're just missing out on, for the second straight year, something very important that you need to win hockey games. Scoring. To shift power play philosophy and still have the man advantage become a weakness for a team is terrifying. Evan, you saw the Dominator, right? The burger that has made the rounds on social media.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it, but I saw Josh eating it and then finishing it.
Josh.
So, applaud to Josh.
So, Josh was texting me when that happened. All right, so I have a joke. I think the only radio-safe joke I'm allowed to say about the Dominator, and it is this. Why does that burger look more put together than the Sabres power play? Again. All right, there we go. I got it. Would you try the Dominator? I think that's a risky play.
I would, but here's the thing. I would almost have to, I don't want to say starve myself.
Yes.
But to the point where, like,
you
I'm
have
not
to be ready for that.
I'm not that's eating like having, anything.
That's like for, having, it's like having Five Guys, I think. Like, you have to be you have to be a requisite amount of hungry to have that. You're absolutely right. That is an angle that I didn't ever think about with that gigantic burger is. You have to be a certain amount of hungry to have that be appetizing.
I tried the hot dog of the day for the Kings game. It was all right, but here's the thing. I wasn't at the game when the Sabres came in here. I came, the hot dog was probably sitting there for probably over an hour, and I was like, I don't care, it's cold. I've eaten cold hot dogs before. I grab it, and the dog just rips right through the bun. And I was like, no.
Especially with the toppings on it and everything like that. Yeah, that would make sense.
It was good.
You get a soggy bun, though. That makes sense. But yeah, no, like, now that burger is, I hate that that is currently the most fascinating thing about the team right now because they're not scoring goals. Goaltending and defense has been good, but that doesn't sell you games. It makes you look good overall, but that doesn't get you the tickets. It doesn't get you the ticket sales. Scoring does. That's why the Sabres of two seasons ago were really popular. They weren't just a team threatening to make the playoffs. They were also a team that, no matter what happened, you were in for your money's worth for that day. Paul said the LA game, people probably got their money worth when it came to entertainment on that. Just the only thing that didn't happen was the scoreboard wasn't racking up for them the way that it should have been. The Sabres of two seasons ago, you got every bit of money that mattered for your entertainment dollar. And hopefully there's something about that that comes back. Because this is a franchise that desperately, desperately needs it. And when it comes to these two teams, the Bills and the Sabres, it's the Sabres that have won last in a preseason game on September 29th. So, I need one of you two to bust these 2 weeks out of here and get us out of this hell. Because it would be great to get things back to some form of normal or enjoyable again. Because if the Bills lose three straight, and we'll talk plenty about that in the next hour, vibes become disastrous. If the Sabres start 0-4, it's not good. Yeah, the joke is they're 2 points out of first place right now. But starting 0-4 never works for any franchise ever, no matter the sport.
Don't tell and that to Edmonton.
And if you do that in the same weekend, I'm going to need to borrow Howard's lawnmower. Like, but also, that's why I thought of what I thought of today, because I also thought of the worst case Ontario. Yes, I said it wrong on purpose. If both teams lose again, it's just a disastrous stretch between these two teams in late September and into October. But October has been particularly unforgiving for us here in Buffalo these last few weeks. We'll talk plenty more about the Bills, what they have to do against the Jets, go around the NFL, and we'll end today's show hearing from head coach Sean McDermott as well. So pretty football heavy coming up in the next hour. 803-0550 is the number to call if you've got any concerns. Well, guess what? There's been plenty of concerns with these two teams the last 2 weeks. How are you feeling right now? Open phone lines. And I guess I was remiss to say that I forgot to mention that as we started this segment. But that's okay, because now there's still time to do it. We'll come back, talk some more hockey to wrap up this hour, and then get into football with the Bills and around the league coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. Hour two in the books here. We went hockey heavy. Paul Hamilton joined us to start off this hour. And the Sabres will play against the Florida Panthers again. 7 o'clock faceoff. The Steve Foley Law pregame show? Did I get that right?
Yes, Steve Foley Law pregame show.
The Steve Foley Law pregame show with Brian Koziel will start at 6 o'clock right here on WGR. No Sasha Barkov, no Matthew Tkachuk. Spencer Knight in goal for the Panthers. So there's an opportunity there to take on a little bit of a weakened Panthers roster from what they're supposed to be on paper at full strength. Hopefully the Sabres are able to rebound and get themselves their first win of the year. As for the Bills, we'll go more in depth on the Bills coming up next here as Sports Talk Saturday rolls on. Derek Kramer, Evans on the board. You're listening to WGR.